ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 1 Starting from text 46, genealogical table of the daughters of Manu. Tae te muniyak shattar lokan sargar pavayam eshakar damatau hitra santana katitastava shrindata shadadhanasya sadjapapa hara paraha prasutim manavim daksha Upayeme yajatma, yajatma jaha. My dear Vidura, the population of the universe was thus increased by the descendants of these sages and the daughters of Kardam. Anyone who hears the descriptions of this dynasty with faith will be relieved from all sinful reactions. Another of Manu's daughters, known as Prasuti, married the son of Brahma named Daksha. Tasyam sasarja duvitri shodasha malalochana treyodashada dharmaya tatayakam avnayevibhu. Daksha begot 16 very beautiful daughters with lotus-like eyes, in his wife Prasuti. Of these 16 daughters, 13 were given in marriage to Dharma, and one daughter was given to Agni. Uthir metha tatiksha hir murtu dharma sipatnaya shatha suta shupam maitri prasadam abhyandaya Shanti sukham mutam tushtihi smayam pushtir asuyata yogam priyonatir darpam artham buddhir asuyata metha smritim tatikshatu shemam pri prashrayam sutam murti sarvagunopattir nara narayana vrishi. One of the remaining two daughters was given in charity to the Pitraloka, where she resides very amicably, and the other was given to Lord Shiva, who is the deliverer of sinful persons from material entanglement. The names of the 13 daughters of Daksha who were given to Dharma are Shraddha, Maitri, Daya, Shanti, Trushti, Pushti, Kriya, Unnati, Bhuti, Metta, Titiksha, Kri, and Murti. These 13 daughters produced the following sons. Shraddha gave birth to Shupa, Maitri produced Prasad, Daya gave birth to Abhaya, Shanti gave birth to Sukha, Trushti gave birth to Muda, Pushti gave birth to Smaya, Kriya, to Yoga, Unnati, to Dharpa, Bhuti, to Artha, Metha, to Smriti, to Tiksha, to Kshema, and Sri, to Prashraya. Murti, a reservoir of all respectable qualities, gave birth to Sri Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yayor janmat yado vishvam abhyayan abhyanandat sunirvritam manamshi kakupo vata prasedu sarito jayaha. On the occasion of the appearance of Sri Narayan, the entire world was full of joy. Everyone's mind became tranquil, and thus in all directions the air, the rivers, and the mountains became pleasant.
Divya Vajyanta Turyani Ketu Kusama Krishpaya Munias Kushtubus Kushta Gagura Gantara Kinnabaha Uchanti Smasriya Devya Asit Paramangalam Deva Brahmadaya Sarve Upakastur Abhishtavaihi.
In the heavenly planets, bands began to play, and they showered flowers from the sky. The pacified sages chanted Vedic prayers. The denizens of heaven, known as the Gandharvas and Kindaras, sang. The beautiful damsels of the heavenly planets danced, and in this way, at the time of the appearance of Nada Narayana, all signs of good fortune were visible. Just at that time, great demigods like Brahma also offered their respectful prayers.
Deva Uchahu, Yomayaya Vivachitam Nijayatmanitam, Ke Rupa Pedamivatat Pratichakshanaya, Etena Tama Sadhane Rishimurtanaja, Kratush Chakara. The demigods said, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the transcendental personality of Godhead, who created as its external energy this cosmic manifestation, which is situated in him as the air and clouds are situated in space, and who has now appeared in the form of Naranarayan Rishi in the house of Tarna." Report. The universal form of the Lord is the cosmic manifestation, which is an exhibition of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In space, there are innumerable varieties of planets, and also the air. And in the air, there are variously colored clouds, and sometimes we see airplanes running from one place to another. Thus, the entire cosmic manifestation is full of variety. But actually, that variety is a manifestation of the external energy of the Supreme Lord. And that energy is situated in him. Now the Lord himself, after manifesting his energy, appeared within the creation of his energy, which is simultaneously one with and different from himself. And therefore, the demigods offered their respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who manifests himself in such varieties. There are some philosophers called non-dualists, who, because of their impersonal conception, think that varieties are false. In this verse, it is specifically stated, "Yo Maya Virachitam." This indicates that the varieties are a manifestation of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, because the energy is non-different from the Godhead, the varieties are also factual. The material varieties may be temporary, but they are not false. They are a reflection of the spiritual varieties. Here the word pratichakshanaya, there are varieties, announces the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as Naranarayan Rishi, and who is the origin of all varieties of material nature. Om Vajanti
Hirantasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Shahagana Raghunatham Vitamstam Sativam Shadvaitam Shavakutam Vidyana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sharana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra E Krishna Karuna Sindho Tina Bantho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Tanamami Hohi Priye Vamshako Pusurubhyastra Kripasandho Pyayevacha Vatitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's a long list of names here, a lot of begats. They're relevant because they're connected to Krishna. Otherwise, we don't care. This one had sex with that one, this one had sex with that one, and then the next generation did the same thing and gave some more and kept going. This is of no interest. But because Krishna has appeared in this dynasty, or because the other members of the dynasty are also connected with the activities of Krishna, these names are mentioned, or this genealogy is given. As soon as something is connected with Krishna, it has value. And as soon as it's disconnected from Krishna, it has no value. So this history has value, and therefore it's said that anyone who recites these names or remembers these names becomes purified. Now we finally come to the appearance of Narayana, the dual incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, about whom we'll hear more later. Srila Prabhupada has a very interesting sentence. Now the Lord himself, after manifesting his energy, appeared within the creation of his energy, which is simultaneously one with and different from himself. First, Srila Prabhupada gives some description of these varieties. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also describes that the creation of the Lord is vichitra, full of so many varieties. The Parashya Shakti Brahvidaya Shruyate, the Lord has various energies, and the energies manifest so many things. You have different sounds, different colors, different shapes, different tastes, so many different manifestations. Different planets with different creatures, different parts of the planets with different creatures. So many varieties.
the children are fascinated by all the varieties of bugs that they find, or sometimes we're fascinated by different kinds of birds, and there are people who dedicate their life to cataloging the different kinds of birds, or drawing the different kinds of birds, or describing the habits of the different kinds of birds. And these are only some of the birds, of course, and the birds are only some portion of the living entities, and the living entities are only one portion of the world, because there's so many non-living beings also, which attract attention. So geologists spend their time cataloging the different kinds of sediment and different kinds of rock and different kinds of layers of this and interactions of that. There are so many varied manifestations, material and spiritual, where they get into the particles, the various kinds of constituent particles that make up the material world, and they keep finding more of these particles that have wonderful qualities. So the world is full of varieties. That is a manifest fact. Even among living beings, every living being is different. Even among human beings, every human being is different. In a family, they may be identical twins, but they'll not be identical. And the mother will know difference between all family members, and friends will know this is this one, this is that one. Even the identical twins will be different. So the world is full of differences, and differences between large and small, size difference, weight difference, goes on and on. So all of these different varieties are manifest in the personality of God. Ekadesha stityasyagner jyotsna vispirini yata parasya pamana shakti teram akilam jada. As a fire sits in one place and distributes heat and light in all directions, so the personality of God, we sit in a winter day maybe next to a fire, and sometimes we look at the fire for a long time, seeing how the different things are going on in the fire, and we're absorbing the heat and light and appreciating. So this is all these varieties within the fire are being distributed in all directions, including our direction. So the personality of Godhead sits like a fire in one place and profusely distributes all these varieties of energies. Although he's one, he manifests these varieties, produces these varieties. And although he produces so many varied creations, he's never diminished, nor is his oneness ever compromised. Purnasya purnama adaya purnamena visheshyate. So you have the personality of Godhead in his original feature, expanding himself. Of course, these varieties that are expanded by the Supreme Lord are not directly expanded by Krishna. Krishna expands as Balaram, Balaram expands as Sankarshan. Gradually we come down to the Purusha avatars, and in our particular, or in each universe, the Lord is there as the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. First as the Mahavishnu, he's there as the source of the entire creation. And he enters into the creation as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And so many varieties are produced. So the Krishna, otherwise Krishna remains in the spiritual world. Goloka eva nimasatya kilapa bhuta. He remains in Goloka Vrindavan, but expands himself in these limitless ways.
And at the same time, he's everywhere. Akilapa Bhuta. Shakti Shakti Matayora Peda. There's no difference between the Lord and his energies. So the energies of the Lord are expanded everywhere. The Lord is expanded everywhere. And still, the Lord enters within these energies. These energies are all produced from him, and still he enters within them. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, the comparison is given to the spider, which from its saliva produces a web, and then plays on the web, which is nothing but his own energy. He sits in the web and does his business. And then, of course, later he winds up the web. He can absorb it back within himself. So, yuto imani bhutani jayante. From the personality of Godhead, everything is produced. All the planets, all the things within the planets, all the living beings within the planets, including us. We're all expanded from the personality of Godhead. And we're all non-different from the personality of Godhead because we're his energy. At the same time, there is a difference because the tiny particle of energy is quantitatively different from the absolute whole. And so we have oneness and we have difference. I was just reading a book by a parapsychologist, quite a leading parapsychologist, who was noticing all sorts of very strange things that go on in the world. Things like retrocognition, precognition rather, where the future is seen, or retrocausality, where things done in the future affect what happens in the past. And these things he was marking, or demonstrating statistically, that these various effects practically indisputably exist, although science doesn't like them, because they apparently violate the known laws of material nature, and the known laws have to be the laws. So the scientists are very uncomfortable with these phenomena, even though they've been demonstrated with powerful or significantly powerful statistical evidence, and things are happened again and again with possibilities against chance, like 25 million to one. You have fairly strong evidence. But science doesn't like them. Doesn't like it.
Anyway, that apart, he was speculating about the various, the deeper aspects of these phenomena, how to understand them in some sort of philosophical way, or how to adjust our understanding of reality in such a way that we could appreciate these things. And he was speculating that in some way, for example, when we have clairvoyance, where one person knows the mind of another person, he was speculating that in some way these two persons are identical. That there's some feature, some aspect of Vasudev, which is not different from some aspect of Ram Roy, that there's actual absolute oneness between the two in some way, and therefore Vasudev can know the mind of Ram Roy or vice versa, because they're really one person. And there, in that way, it can be explained. He was, of course, familiar with yogic literature, and so he was picking up these ideas, which have a
a strongly Shankarite bias to them. But the and of course there's along with that comes the speculation that there's really one reality, one ultimate reality, and that everything is in some way not different from that ultimate reality. This is standard Shankarite doctrine.
But the Vaishnavas take a different view of things, that there is oneness, but there's difference also. There may be qualitative oneness between Vasudev and Rahula. Or we look for unity and we say, well, there's oneness between the two. There's in some deeper way, they're really the same person. But the Vaishnavas look at it differently. We see oneness with difference. Srila Jiva Goswami gives the example that when a green bird flies into a green tree, there's oneness, and yet there's difference. The tree is an individual, and the bird is an individual. Or we could take the example of a beehive, where the whole beehive is like one extraordinarily unified system. But it's not because all the bees are in some way really just one bee. But there's one bee somehow or other, one essence, which is manifesting itself as all these bees. That there's really no difference between the queen bee and the worker bees, that all the bees are ultimately one. That doesn't really work. The Vedic view is that the bees are in some way qualitatively one. They all hum, they all have feelers, they all have wings, they all have beeness to them. And their nature of their beeness is that they is such that they all work together in harmony. Not because they're all one bee, but because all of the bees have qualitative oneness. They're one in quality, but they're not the same. It's not that there's really just one bee manifesting itself as many. Spiritually, of course, there is one being, the personality of Godhead, who manifests his being in innumerable other beings. But those innumerable other beings are, although they're one with personality of Godhead, are different also. There's oneness, there's really only one reality. Sarva Kalavinam Brahma, there's only the one absolute truth, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. And yet at the same time, everyone is individual and everything is individual. Inna prakriti rashtana, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and more subtly, mind, intelligence, and false ego are all separated energies of the personality of God. So they're one with the Lord because they're his energy, and yet they're different, like the milk from the cow. The milk is the separated energy of the cow. It's come from the cow, and in one sense it's not different from the cow. And yet, the milk is not cow. There's a difference. So material energies are one with the Lord and different from the Lord. And the spiritual energies, the living beings, are also one with the Lord and different from the Lord. So here the Lord, the personality of God, at the origin of all of these energies, has appeared within his energies as Lord Narayana and will perform his transcendental pastimes. Okay, are there some questions? Yes.
Maharaj, I wanted to understand a little bit better the position of Krishna entering into everything, because it seems like, okay, if he he enters into a body.
Can you speak up a little more?
If Krishna enters into a body, you know, and with the soul, then you know, it's so that he can, you know, make the whole body work according to the desires and karma of the soul. But what happens, for example, when he enters an atom? Like, why is it necessary for him to enter an atom? Like, his essence is already there, you know, in, as the Brahma, right? Like, that is already there. So in that way, it's already, like, not different from him. Mm-hmm. So why? I've not yet understood, like, how is that Sri Dakshina Krishna, which is a localized form of the Lord, you know, like, it's him, enters each and every atom, like,
what is the purpose?
Yeah, exactly.
Why does the Lord as Paramatma enter into every atom?
Why is the sky blue? Why is the sky blue?
Yeah, well, let's think about not why the sky is blue, but why the Lord enters into every atom. In one sense, he does it for his enjoyment. He enjoys everything that he does. He's the supreme enjoyer. So he enjoys expanding himself into the hearts of the living beings and into the heart of the atom also. We could challenge him and say, why do you enjoy doing this? But that's his independent nature. He enjoys it. We see that a manager enjoys running his company. He actually gets pleasure from it. But the Lord also enjoys controlling the activities of everything from within every corner. He enjoys entering into the heart of the living entity, not for the sake of enjoying sense gratification, but for the sake of giving mercy and direction. That's his pastime. And he enters into the atom also as a feature of his all blissful nature. He could do it another way, you know. Why doesn't he do it some other way? And certainly there are like so many different creative ways that the Lord could do things. He doesn't have to become the Paramatma either in the atom or in the heart of the living entity. You know, he could zap the living entity with rays from the spiritual world. He doesn't even have to enter the material world. He can do it so many different ways. But he does it this way. That's his prerogative. That's the prerogative of management, you know, you get to do it your own way when you're in charge. It's like devotees, sometimes they can't get along in the temple, you know, they have to be in charge. They have to be the president or else nothing. Or some political leader, he has to be the chief executive of the state or else start a revolution. So that nature is there to be in charge of everything. That's ultimately found in Krishna also. He's in charge of everything. And he likes being in charge of everything. He enjoys being in charge of everything. I quoted sometimes that Mr. What was his name? Who took over Pakistan? They had that coup when he became. Anyway.
Musharraf.
No. I've forgotten. I have to make sure I don't confuse my Egyptian.
He's from Mubarak.
It was Mubarak, right?
He is from Egypt. He's the Egyptian.
Mubarak's Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Who was it in Pakistan?
It starts with an M. It also starts with an M.
Yeah. Also starts with an M, yeah. Musharraf, right? Mubarak was Egypt and Musharraf was Pakistan. Anyway, this is all no account, but the point was that there was an interview with him after he took over, and they asked him about when he was going to have elections, and they asked him about this, and they asked him about that. And they asked him a personal question. They said, how does it feel, you know, being the head of the state now? And he said, to tell you the truth, I like being in charge. I like being in charge. That's the Kshatriya Bhava, Ishra Bhava. It's his nature to be in charge, like the Pandavas. Give us five villages, because we're Kshatriyas, we have to be in charge of something. We're not going to be cotton pickers, we're not going to be businessmen, we're not going to be sages. We have to be in charge of something. So give us each a village and we'll leave it at that. No, we won't give you a village. That's another story. But that sense that this is what we are meant to do, and this is where we find our happiness, from being in charge. Dhritarashtra also wouldn't give up the throne. He thought he's in charge. If everyone's an illusion thinking I'm in charge while they're being dragged around by the material energy. But Krishna is actually in charge, and he enjoys being in charge. He enjoys being the personality of God. That's his nature. He's the supreme enjoyer. Is that okay?
There was a dictator in Yugoslavia, Tito, a communist dictator. I think he was in charge for like 40 years.
Yeah.
And then he had like diabetes and they cut off his legs and he was in a coma. And I think he stayed in a coma for like a year or something. He just didn't want to leave the body.
Yes.
He fought his way into that. He got that spot and he fought, held himself in there. He just didn't want to go, you know, because he's an attached being.
One of my grandbrothers said about one of my other grandbrothers, he said, he'll never die. He said, he's too attached. So we see that sometimes someone gets a position, temple president or whatever it is, and you know, you can cut off his arm, you can cut off his leg, he could be in a coma, but he won't give up being temple president. Or whatever it is, you know, we remain attached to a designation or to a situation, household in life. You know, we can't give up being the head of the family. You know, well, I'll wait till, you know, I'm a little older. Well, I'll wait till my son finishes college. Well, I'll wait till the grandson grows up a bit. Well, that doesn't want to give up. So, anyway, Krishna, in his position, doesn't need to be attached to anything because whatever there is, he could just do it again. He can create, one time Prabhupada said, he can create a million servitors like you in a second. So Krishna is detached in one sense because he has full potential within himself. Where we don't want to give up something because when will I get it again? You know, people keep basements full of all sorts of junk because you never know, one day I might need it. One day I might need it. Or people don't want to give charity because, you know, one day they might need it. You know, I don't know if I'll have enough. But people are in anxiety, they hold on to something because what will happen if I give it up? Or my position, if I give up this position, then what will happen to me if there's insecurity? Krishna doesn't have to be attached to anything because he's got everything within himself. He has no insecurity, he has no worry about challengers. No one can challenge him, no one's equal to him, no one's greater than him. No, he has no problem. And no attachments. That's one of his opulences. He's supremely detached. And yet at the same time, he's attached to everything in the sense that everything's his energy, and yet detached at the same time. That's Krishna.
Anything else? Yes.
Yes. Asking why Krishna's going to the end, because he said, you know, Prabhupada, because he likes it, you know.
Yeah.
But actually, you see how people have a propensity to travel. I want to go to Tibet. I want to go to there. I want to go to Paris. They want to go everywhere and experience everywhere. Krishna has already done that.
Yeah, Krishna's done. Or person in management, you know, he wants to be everywhere. You know, he wants to make sure that he's got his eyes on everything, that he's got his hand in everything. They say that about a micromanager, you know, he's got to have his hands on it. Hands-on manager, he's got to have his hands in every pot. Sarvato padam tat sarvato kshishiro kam sarvata shudhimalo ke sarvamandri tutishti. His eyes are everywhere. Hands and legs are everywhere. His head, his shiva kam, his mouth, his ears. The ultimate dream of any security force is to have their ears everywhere. Krishna has it. He knows everything. Get into it, you know, between cameras and we talked about how much the state can delve into your personal information. It's quite something. Micro drones, little aircraft the size of a bee that can travel around and do surveillance.
Brothers watching.
Oh, yeah, they have all that to an astonishing extent, really. But nothing compared to Krishna. Nothing compared to Krishna. Okay, should we stop here?
Thank you all very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.
Jai
Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai J